times, in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but it's all sorrows befall us, the Satan opposes, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through
we are for such wonderful truth and assurance of God and his ways in our lives. Let us turn this morning to the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9. And we will begin with verse 7. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything in all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that's what I want to speak on this morning from verse 15, God's unspeakable gift. This is a season of thanksgiving, as the apostle mentions three times this thanksgiving unto God here in our text. But I want to notice the context in which Paul finally makes this statement here in verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. As we go back to verse 7, we'd call our attention to the fact that these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, deal with the, poor Paul enlarges on the grace of giving. And it seems that he uses everything he can in order to literally coerce the Corinthians to give of their substance to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Find out that the Corinthian assembly was a very rich assembly, and they had promised to follow through, and they had promised to give these funds to those who were in such need, but they had simply neglected to do that. And so Paul is trying to encourage them, as I say again, literally coerce them into doing what they said they would do. And so let us notice here, as we begin this study, there are five glorious benefits of giving that we see here in verses 8 to 14. Paul encourages them in verse 7 to give. God loves a cheerful giver. And then in verse 8, the first benefit, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. When people are of this giving heart, when they are the cheerful giver, God will make all grace be given unto you. And notice how that he enlarges on that wonderful statement. Look at the fullness of this, the tremendous sufficiency that he's talking about here. He will make his grace abound, all grace abound toward you, that you always, meaning the time, always having all sufficiency in all things, abound to every good work. There is a fullness there to all grace, and it indeed is a promise to those who would follow through and give as Paul is encouraging these Corinthians to do. Then the second one in verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. This is the second benefit of giving, and it shows forth in our ministry or in our testimony before God. I want to notice that when it says here, he hath dispersed, that's not really talking about God. This is taken from Psalm 112, and the he is a reference to the one that feareth the Lord, the one that submits himself unto the Lord, the one that bows down before the Lord, and indeed is obedient unto God. And one of the things that he does, as we find here in this verse, is that he is faithful then to disperse abroad, that is to give to others. He's given to the poor. And then here is this glorious result again for him. His righteousness remains forever. It is a display of practical righteousness that is counted to our account when we are of such a giving spirit as the apostle calls for here. Then the third benefit, verses 10 and 11. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, that, of course, is God. We have found again and again that we have nothing except God gives it to us. And so he that ministers the seed in the first place, he's the same one that will both minister bread for your food. We've seen it again and again. God always takes care of his own. I remember one of the first lessons I learned when I came to Bible school, and Sister Mooneyhan was a teacher, and she made this statement, a person can never outgive God, and that's absolutely the truth. So this same one is going to do this here. He will minister bread for your food. He'll multiply the seed sown. And that doesn't make any difference whether we're talking about seed of money or of something else, the seed of the Word of God. Oh, what a joy to know that when we give out the Word of God, it's up to Him to multiply it. We don't have to be responsible for the results. This is a great benefit and understanding that we have in simply giving as God instructs us to do. And so he will multiply your seed sown, and he'll increase the fruit of your righteousness. We become more righteous before God. And we say again and again and again, there will always be an eternal reward for righteousness. God has offered us such a plan here for our own lives. Verse 11, being enriched in everything with all bountifulness. And there is no end to the bounty that God will grant in our lives as we are indeed faithful to give unto Him. Then the fourth benefit centers around this season of thanksgiving that we are observing here. We read in verse 11, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. This is the burden on every person, is that we be an instrument of thanksgiving to God, of bringing glory to God. There are three expressions of such thanksgiving to God in these two little verses. We read, first of all, thanksgiving to God here in verse 11. Verse 12, as the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, that's wonderful to meet the need of people, and I'm sure the people in Jerusalem greatly appreciated that. But you'll notice it is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. We channel that. We enable, as it were, men to continue to give thanksgiving to God. Verse 13, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God. People are glorifying God because of the work that has been done through us in giving unto others. And so they glorify God for your professed subjection for your unto the gospel of Christ. And we will learn in our experience that that's the only way that we ever get anything accomplished, is to be in subjection, to let the Word of God do the work in our lives that God intended to do, and for your liberal distribution unto them. Then the fifth one is in verse 14, and by their prayer for you. Long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. In the very beginning of this, the eighth chapter of this book, Paul wanted the same grace to be performed in these Corinthian saints. We find out that grace was the grace of giving. He wants that grace in our lives also. And so he says here, when those people, the recipients of that gift, as we noted, they begin to glorify God. But now then, by their prayer for you. One of the great benefits of giving to others is it creates a bond between the giver and the receiver. And one of the responsibilities, and it is a wonderful benefit, so to speak, through both parties, so to speak, and that is that the receiver, the recipient, has this burning urge to pray for the one who gave the gift. That's the way God intended. It's an interaction of the body. And so by their prayer for you, and you'll notice they long after you. There is a creation of divine love between these two, the giver and the receiver, which long after you for the exceeding grace. They've seen the grace of God. Oh, what a blessing when we can manifest divine grace unto other people, and they are so benefited by it. And so Paul speaks of giving thanks for all of this. Thus we come to verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This must of necessity be a very special gift. I do not believe that Paul is thinking here, nor is he referring to the monetary gift which he was encouraging the Corinthians to do. He wanted them to follow through with that. But what we have in verse 15 is even far deeper than that. There are three identifying marks, so to speak, here of the gift that is what Paul is talking about. There are three characteristics, so to speak, and indications that this gift that Paul is talking about is a reference to Christ himself. We read of it as being a gift. It is said to be his gift, or the gift of God. It is said to be an unspeakable gift. I want to notice in the message today that only Christ can claim all of those characteristics. The first thing that we see is it is his gift. That is, it is God's gift. And notice some of the characteristics of God's gifts. Romans 11:29 says it this way, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." That means that God doesn't rescind his gift. He doesn't take it back. He is giving it for eternity. We have been noticing some of this in the series on everlasting and eternal life. And so again, one of these wonderful blessings and signs of this gift, it is given for eternity. It is without repentance. James refers to God's gifts this way. Every good gift identifies it with God. Jesus said to the rich young ruler that came to him, "There is none good but God." And so a good gift must of necessity come from God, be a part of God. Then James refers to it as a perfect gift. There is only one that can fit that overall qualification, and that is Christ. And so every perfect gift is from above. That is, comes down from the Father of lights. This is God's gift unto us. Romans 5:15 describes God's gift as a free gift. Also a gift by grace. That's the only way you can receive such gifts, is indeed by the grace of God. It is his gift. I think of this fact that God can do with his gift exactly as he wants to do. He owns it. No one can dictate to him. It is his gift to give as he pleases, as he sees fit. And oh, how we should be rejoicing today, thanking God today that he has chosen to give this gift unto us. The second thing about we see of this gift is it is singular, not plural, though God has many gifts. But this is where we want to understand that Paul says here specifically, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift," singular. And this is what is so wonderful, because this gift is all inclusive. We remember the classic verse from John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave." The gift that he gave was his only begotten Son. Then Paul adds much to that, enlarges beautifully on it, when he says in Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own Son." It is that same only begotten Son that he gave unto the world. "He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him?" And then notice, "freely," that is by grace, "give us all things." When God gave us the gift of his Son, he gave us everything. It is all included in him. There's not a need that we have, spirit, soul, and body, that was not included in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, "Glorify him for the unspeakable gift," as though we're only one. It includes all of them. Notice further, 1 Corinthians 1:5 says it this way, "In everything you are enriched." God's gifts are rich, enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And of course, Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." We go beyond the natural realm. I know so many people are concentrating just on the natural substance and things that they have in this life, and we should and we must, but we must go much further and learn to appreciate and take hold of the spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings, gifts that God has given to us in Christ. That's the only way they come. We cannot get gifts unless they be in Christ. This is the gift he is speaking of here. Then the third thing we see, it is an unspeakable gift. That's the only time I can find this word used in the scripture, right here. Unspeakable. It means indescribable. It means not expounded in full. And that can only apply to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I have often said that I am confident we will be learning. We should be learning of Christ every day of our lives until we be taken out of this world. And this is why he cannot be expounded in full. There is always this glorious mystery, this glorious knowledge waiting for us of those majestic things which are in Christ that we simply cannot see, do not always see. Think much of the Apostle Paul, the same principle. You remember when he was caught up to the third heaven, and he said, I saw things that are just unlawful for me to speak. As we said in a message recently, unlawful meant that he couldn't talk about them because you need, the law demanded two or three witnesses, and he only had one. And so he didn't try to shove this off as something like that. But another thing that we read from there in that verse and from that experience, Paul couldn't find the words to describe what he saw. And this is the same thought we have here. How can we even begin to find the words to describe the beauty of Christ? And I do believe that God is revealing things to us that we may not be able even to convey fully to other people, not fully expound. This is an unspeakable gift that God has given unto us, and it can only apply unto Christ. And so we come to the conclusion of this message. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God has provided the gift. Our burden of responsibility lies in simply giving thanks. The first thing I want to notice about giving thanks, will not turn there, but Colossians 3:15 says this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be ye thankful. It is important for us to understand that thanksgiving on our part is not just a matter of courtesy. It's a command. God commands us to be thankful. And there are really a number of reasons for that. I want to notice in this message two major reasons of our day when men do not always give thanks. I would emphasize once again that giving thanks is really not an option in God's school. We are commanded, as we see here in Colossians, be ye thankful. But there are two things that I have seen over the years where that men do not give thanks. One of them is, they really don't see or appreciate the value of the gift. This happens in the natural as well as in the spiritual where God is concerned. I think of it where God is concerned, and we're going to get into this a little bit later in another message. The reason some people don't appreciate and know and lay hold of eternal life, they don't really see the value of it. And likewise in the natural. Sometimes you give gifts to people, you never hear a word. Never hear one iota, none whimper of thanks. And the reason is, at times, is because they don't really value the gift. Well, that isn't what I wanted. I didn't need that. I had something else in mind. And God tells us, be you thankful. We'll see that here in just a moment. In everything. And so they don't really appreciate the value of the gift. And then another one that really is most dangerous, both in the spiritual and the natural. Sometimes men actually don't see it as a gift. They see it more as an entitlement. They see it more as something that is owed to them. So why should I give thanks for something that is rightfully mine anyway? That's the thinking of some people, both in the spiritual and the natural. We have noticed God's gift of eternal life. And again, I think there are those that do not appreciate the value of that. But some people really do not recognize it as all of a gift. Paul said it this way in Romans 4:4. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If men think they are working for eternal life, then it is reckoned of debt. God owes me for my efforts. Nothing can ever be farther from the truth. The gift that God has given to us in Christ Jesus is all a gift. We had no merit to deserve it and never will. It is God's gift unto us. And therefore, we must indeed understand that we are to give thanks for it. I love what the Apostle Paul said to these same Corinthians. They had that problem. They seemed to think that they deserved everything. They seemed to think that they were entitled to everything. And Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? And every person on the face of the earth can ask himself the same question. What do I have that I didn't receive from God? And the answer is nothing. We are entitled to nothing. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And every person must have a revelation of the fact that that gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have nothing to do with it in order to pay for it or to give God back anything for it. When men do not see God's gift of grace, they truly believe they have to earn what they receive, and that is contrary to God's word. Let us close with one final scripture. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul told us in Colossians it really is a command to give thanks for the reasons we mentioned. Here, giving thanks is the will of God for our lives. And we read, in everything. Meaning that you and I must take everything as a gift from the hand of God and be able to give thanks, even as Job did, give thanks for the gift that God has given to us, because that gift is in Christ. And so we must heed Paul's admonition here that we indeed thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And we have been the recipient of that glorious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and everything that is embodied in him. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God. Sometimes people wonder, what is the will of God for me? What does God want for my life? Well, here's one thing we can take to the bank. In everything give thanks, for that is the will of God.